Anna, I don't know if you saw the news, but apparently Blackstone, specifically Jonathan Gray, who I put on the Mount Rushmore of real estate investors, is calling a real estate bottom. They just purchased for $10 billion, 76 multifamily communities from AIR Communities. So, what do you think? Is Blackstone calling a bottom in commercial real estate?
They are. I did see that article, and it's funny. We just talked about them last week, and we have a few times over the years, but they're one of the big players that we talked about having cash on the sidelines and wanting to rush in to where there's perhaps one of the greatest opportunities in our lifetime in commercial real estate to scoop up cheap properties. So there's somebody that we've been watching, and they've made a move. They made a move for two big portfolios, one single family residential and the
Right.
other, I think, primarily office. And so, $10 billion for one. I don't remember the amount for the other, but it was, I think close to
Substantial.
$1 billion or
Yeah.
more, maybe $16 billion. So yeah, they're making big moves. I did find it interesting that he's called for the bottom. He could be right. They're especially in office, they know more than I do. They have a lot more experience in that space than I do. I don't know if we're at a bottom yet, though. But here's the thing: you don't have to get the exact top and the exact bottom right. You just have to
Exactly.
know what's the trajectory. And when you can see that there's significant pain, where you can buy office spaces in some big cities, Michael, where they're oversupplied for less than the land value, and tear them
Yeah,
down and
exactly.
wait and still make money, when you move back into an expansion period. And so it doesn't really matter if we're at the bottom, but he is right that commercial real estate, especially office and shopping malls, by the way, who are also starting to die and be redeveloped all around the country, they are being sold for pennies on the dollar compared to where they used to be. And so
Yeah.
it is a huge opportunity for them while rates are high, while vacancies are high, to come in and scoop up properties that artificially are below replacement costs because of vacancy and interest rates. So if they believe that interest rates will eventually be cut sometime this year, then that is going to cause, as interest rates fall, cap rates will start to fall a little bit. That's that, cash return on cash that investors demand for a risk premium above the treasury. If they think rates have popped and they won't be raised again and they'll be coming down, they know this is kind of that sweet spot, because once rates are cut, guess what happens to prices? They
Yeah.
go up. So I think he's generally right that we're in this window of opportunity where we've probably seen, a lot of the distress already play out, where interest rates are keeping those cap rates artificially high, and where that may start to reverse in the next several months if the Fed can get inflation down.
Yeah, when I look at these moves, what I'm left to think is I think he's early, but I think he's early on purpose. Because again, Blackstone is likely putting loan structures in place where they're going to have an easy 5-year hold. And again, by being early, you get to pick the best of the best, right? You have no other
Right.
competition.
Right.
And even if price go down 10 or 15% more, competition will go up, and also there'll be less quality there. So I think
Right.
Blackstone is looking at their, hundreds and hundreds of billions of dollars that they have to deploy, and going, yeah, we're going to go early, but not really early, right? There's already been a
Right.
40% haircut in office and 20% in
That's
multifamily.
exactly what I was going to say. Yeah. Do you care if you're a little early if you made 40%?
No.
The answer is no. Just like I can look backwards and say, man, I wish I hadn't sold some of the properties I sold in 2019 and 2020 and
Yeah.
2021. If I had only known the craziness that was going to happen, I could have made more money. But guess what? I still made great returns. So if you make great returns, it doesn't matter if you made the best possible deal. I can guarantee you, Michael, if the bottom gets further down, they'll keep raising
Oh,
money
yeah.
and they'll keep doing more deals. So it's not like they did one deal and they're going to make a 40% return, and now they're going to miss out on the one that they could make a 50. They'll just create another fund and buy another tranche of deals. That's what the Blackstones of the world can do. So, but even for smaller, fish that are looking for good deals, I'm a huge advocate, and I know you are, and we've talked about this show, of basically dollar cost averaging properties. You just keep buying, and you do great deals for what a great deal looks like at any point in the economy. Correct. And if you're happy with the returns that you're making, don't worry. Certainly don't delay. If you find a great deal, do the deal. Don't wait hoping that things are going to crash and get worse, because maybe Blackstone's right that we are already at a bottom. And when rates fall, prices will go up. And so your type of opportunity is just going to be different.
Yeah, I think about Blackstone and the moves they made. Their first move is really interesting. I think it was 6, maybe 8 months ago, they bought single family, bought roughly 30,000 units. They went from owning no single family to being one of the, you know, top 10 owners of single families with that one purchase. Then they bought some office debt at a significant discount, and now they've just made a move into multifamily. So I think it was really interesting to watch Jonathan work. Again, I think he's early. I think he's early on purpose because he wants the best. He wants to have first right of refusal. That's what I really think he's playing with. And right. I do think the bigger stuff, the Class A stuff, which is where they're playing, I think that will transact first because the banks will know those are the best assets. Having gone through a cycle like this before, the B and C class stuff is still stressed. They're still trying to do extend and pretend. But there will be a time in the next 18, 24 months at the latest where that stuff will show up and will transact as well. And that's the stuff I'm looking to buy. So this is a signal, a sign.
Yeah.
It's just the beginning.
Yeah. And I think to that point, you know, your larger funds, your REITs, your insurance companies that are taking down large deals, they're really only going to contract Class A stuff. That's what they're going to buy, unless they're in a Class A area, right. Office, multifamily, et cetera. And it's a little bit older building, but they're not in the business of value add. They want to buy stable properties that are going to have very low maintenance, low insurance costs that aren't going to keep going up like everything is if it's Class B, Class C. Regardless of tenant demographic, it's the age of the property. So they're going to be the ones that continue to transact these 700,000 unit apartment buildings that are Class A. They're buying them right now pretty cheap comparatively, and artificially cheap. But the Class B and Class C stuff is really where the smaller fish like you and I, you know, go in and find opportunity, because there aren't the big REITs that are competing. But again, you've got to make sure that you're competing at a good enough risk premium, i.e. you buy the property cheap enough that you're going to make a great return, even if insurance costs and taxes continue to go up. Rents start to ease or come down, or vacancies tick up in a recession. You just got to look at all those things and say, here's my price. This compensates me well enough for the risk. And it could be a huge opportunity to buy some of those properties, especially the smaller ones, and in secondary and tertiary areas, if the economics work and it's still a strong economy. And so I'm looking to buy a lot more B stuff. B is kind of my sweet spot. I like properties that don't need 50 years worth of improvements. I don't have to gut them. And my insurance can still be, you know, fairly reasonable in an area that has a lot of good jobs, maybe just not the top paying jobs. And so, you know, Class B properties and Class B areas have real growth opportunity as well as good income and stability. So that's really where I like to play. And I think there's going to be a lot more opportunity that we're not at the bottom yet in those assets.
Yeah. When I look at, I follow The Real Deal. It's one of those pages I follow on Instagram. They're posting a lot more about transactions, which tells me price discovery is going on. You know, some of these, to your point, are selling for land value or land value minus teardown, which is wild to look at. Yeah. I think it was about 3 months ago, we talked about being in the first inning of this. Do you think we've moved to the second inning and, you know, maybe we're, you know, at the bottom of the second heading into the third? I don't think we're anywhere close to the end.
No, we're not close to the end, but I think we're probably halfway, you know.
Oh, really?
I wish we were at the seventh inning stretch. I don't think we're quite there yet, but I think we're probably in the fifth inning, you know, fourth or fifth inning of what we're seeing, because a lot of the distress has already happened for properties that had two-year loans that were issued in 2021 and 2022, because that's when the majority of the bridge debt was done. And we're already in 24, which is, you know, 2 years for those deals. But some of those bridge deals, a lot of them actually had 1 year extensions. And so I think we're through the majority of, you know, the first 2 years coming due this year. But I think we still have next year and maybe some into 2026 that have extensions that can, they can hold on if they're in a really good area. But I think you're still going to have a lot of pain later this year, especially into 2025. And I think we see less of that into 2026, because I think most deals done with bridge debt by then are already, you know, being watched by the lenders, and they're either in the middle of workouts or they will have to do that in the next year. So hopefully we're getting closer to the end, but I think we're probably in the middle of the commercial real estate distress.
Based on what you just kind of walked through, is it fair to say that you think 2025 will be the max pain year when you kind of accumulate all the losses? Is that the worst year, or do you think it's 24?
I think a lot depends on what happens outside of outside of commercial real estate in and of itself. So what happens with interest rates absolutely will have an impact. If the Fed ticks down 50 basis points, 75 basis points this year, Michael, that doesn't fix the problem. The rate spread is still too great. And so I think most of the pain is going to be in 2025. If there was a banking crisis and if there was a deep recession in late 2024, early 2025, I still think that pushes most of the distress to 2025, because then not only do you have rates that hopefully are starting to come down, but they're still high, but you start to deal with more people defaulting on their rents, not able to pay, more evictions ticking up. So I think 2025 is going to be a more painful year personally than 2024. I hope I'm wrong, but as an operator who still has multiple properties that I operate that are large apartment buildings, we are starting to see stress on the renters. They're already starting to struggle to pay rent. Student loans are just starting to tick up. So people are just starting to deplete their savings, max their credit cards. I think we're kind of halfway through the innings on that as well. And unless something really changes to make the Fed really cut rates, and employment, you know, just continues to go up, which both of those things usually don't happen at the same time, I don't think 2024 is going to be, you know, the rainbow that we all hoped for. I think it's going to be, you know, sometime into 2025 before we real get enough relief that there's not more commercial real estate pain.
Yeah, well, I'm encouraged. Again, this is a place that you play a lot more than me. I would never have guessed we were halfway through this. So that's encouraging. I would have best guessed early third inning, bottom of the second. But yeah, I think it's really interesting. Folks, let us know what you think in the comments below. Are we halfway through this? Is 2025 going to be the year of max pain? Let us know what you think. We're always happy to interact with you. Anna, where can people find you?
Great. You can find me on your show almost every week and on my playlist on your channel. You can find me at social media, Anna Kelly, REI Mom, and for real estate coaching and consulting at AnnaKellyInvesting.com.
Thank you so much.